Well, I hope you had a chance to look at those pictures at coasttocoastam.com that Robert supplied for us. Robert Morningstar. We'll be back with more of him, and we'll take your calls. We'll talk about the Fast Track TPP, and also we'll take your calls on the German UFOs next. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Robert Morningstar with us, of course. We're going to take your calls. You know, the German technology has always fascinated me, Robert. Is there anything going on now, kind of under the table, that we need to know about?
You know, there is something that's happened this week which is rather strange. In this G7 meeting that happened in Germany, mm-hmm. they announced a collective decision to get off fossil fuels. And such an announcement and such a decision could never have come forward so explicitly if they didn't already have something on the shelf to replace it. And I think that that's what maybe is already in the works. But in order for this non-fossil fuel society to come to be, they have to arrest this giant industrial locomotive that's based on oil. As I've often said, you know, like when we were facing a crisis in the Middle East, that, and I supported the initial wars, you know, to secure the oil. I used the analogy. I said that the oil is the blood of the nation on the industrial and economic sense, and that we had to secure it. And now, if they have decided that they're going to cease fossil fuel technology, they certainly must have another alternate technology or combinations of them to replace it. So I think there is something there. But, you know, there's been something there in Germany since World War II.
That's true.
They are the people who put together Tesla technology. You know, it's another interesting thing, just an aside here. I was watching my favorite space hero of all time and remains so, Buster Crabbe as Flash Gordon. And as I watched them again, you know, now as an adult, more than an adult man, I realized that what they were showing in so many of the things, the gadgetry they had there, was Tesla technology. They had beamed energy, they had the ray guns, they had... Oh, they had mind control? There's an episode where Flash Gordon is put under mind control and his memory of Dale Arden is erased and he's made to fall in love with Princess Aura. It's quite profound. But I'd like to finish up the Haunabu and...
Yeah, do that and then we'll take these calls for you. Go ahead.
That statue there is the key to understanding the relation of Haunabu to the German Flying Saucer Project. There were a couple of other nicknames that the Germans had for the secret flying saucer. One of them was Haunegerät and Haunebugerät, and a third one was Discus. And that's when I saw this big picture. I was talking about the Germans looking upon the ancient Greek gods as and them as demigod descendants, this Aryan race. Semi-divine beings. So Haunebugerät and Haunegerät means like a gadget. It means device. So it would mean the Greek device or the Greek gadget. And that's what the statue has in his hands. He has the discus in his mm-hmm. hands. And so this idea that the Germans read was that this thing that was in the guy's hand, this discus thrower was analogous to a demigod, and that this was a power object that he was demonstrating. The Germans also studied Hindu Vedas, the Mahabharata, and they knew about Vimanas. So they put all these this ancient alien thing. I see you on TV. I get a kick out of watching ancient aliens. You there?
It's a fun show. We just did taped year number 8.
Yeah, it seems to me like the History Channel is running on ancient aliens now, and we're taking this, you know, seriously and for granted. I think the Germans really hit the nail on the head and went gung-ho on it, and they were able to get their gadgets going, Gerät, their devices. The repulsing engine of Victor Schallberger. And Tesla, you know, they were Nazi spies, German spies, trying to steal everything that Tesla came up with, and they succeeded quite well. So I think that went black into secret projects America. Well, see, America got its share of Germans, and the Russians got their share of Germans. And so this technology went into both countries, but it became black operations, black projects in both countries, top secret, never a word. And a lot of covert activity to hide the fact from each other, Russia and the United States, hiding the fact that they were both working on the same technology. So I have quite a bit of confidence that the technology has matured. There are some very suggestive Boeing commercials on television now that seem to be hinting, and more than hinting, explicitly depicting this kind of Tesla technology. There are two variants of the B-2 bomber. One variant is a conventionally powered craft, and another one is said to be able to bend space with its wings so that it rides a gravity wave and passes through the air, riding gravity waves that are created by creating polarities between the front edge of the leading edge of the wing and the rear edge of the wing, positive and negative, and then injecting electricity into electric charges into the jet engine, the jet engines that power them.
Well, they probably had that technology for years, Robert.
Oh, of course. I heard about this in 1992. So it's quite a long time ago.
All right, let's take some calls for you. They're lining up like crazy here.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go to Andy in Norwalk, California to get things started for you. Andy, go ahead, sir.
Great show. Yes, Robert, I'd like to know two questions. If you believe that America has been using the same ideas that the Germans had with the Vril Society, that's contacting the other side to get technology to advance to where we're at, yes, in addition to anything that crashed. And number two, do you believe that, in your opinion, do you believe that the Germans have underground bases in Antarctica, and they've had them since World War II? Thank you.
All right. Let's take the last one first. There's always been thoughts that they do, Robert, have those bases there.
I believe there were bases there, but I believe that the bases were destroyed in the late 1950s, that Admiral Byrd was rebuffed, and he took a big beating and retreated, but he came back with the proof that the Nazi redoubt down there was real. And I believe that the Neue Schwabenland German redoubt, or outpost, or fortress, was destroyed in 1958 and 59 with the detonation of nuclear weapons that America and Britain blew off in Antarctica. A lot of people don't know about that, but I remember them quite vividly, and I have found some photographs recently and descriptions of these atomic bomb tests that were done in Antarctica during and following the International Geophysical Year, which was 1957 and 58, which focused entirely on Antarctica, and called for tremendous explorations from all those nations in the Southern Hemisphere that have a claim on some patch of Antarctica. So I think it did exist. I think there was a successful escape of hundreds, if not thousands, of Germans via U-boat to Neue Schwabenland, but I think that they got wiped out with atomic weapons in the 1950s.
And, of course, his thoughts about communicating with the other side. What do you think?
Okay, the occult, all right. Yes, the occult. Yes, I do believe it, and it's actually a well-known fact that Jack Parsons, the progenitor of the JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratories, JPL was originally Jack Parsons Laboratories, and it's pretty well known that he was an occultist and a black magician, and that he carried on the Babylon working with L. Ron Hubbard and was a follower of Aleister Crowley, and that he pulled in knowledge. He did these rites, and that as a result, he opened a portal. These are their belief systems. You know what I say about these? They believe these things, and they acted on them. The fact that we may not believe that we think it's superstition is irrelevant. The fact that they believed in it motivated them, and they achieved tremendous things. Both the Germans, you know, with Maria Orsich and her long hair communicating with the Aryans from Taurus, and Jack Parsons with his black magic out there in the California desert doing his magical rituals. So I believe that we call it a cult because we don't understand it. Quantum physics was very occult, but now we've matured. We have nearly 100 years of quantum physics behind us, and the existence of interdimensional worlds is not as far-fetched as it was 100 years ago.
What do you think of the multiverse theory, Robert?
I do believe in the multiverse theory. I believe that the multiverse is really in everyone's head. Every human being lives in a distinct and unique universe. That's part of it. The branching off and the physics of the branching off of multiple universes, I don't know about that branching off part, but I do believe in an interdimensional existence. We right here, right now, I'm existing in the physical body, knock on wood, literally. I'm existing in my emotional body, my feelings. I'm existing in my intellectual body, my thoughts and cogitation, and then there's just the fire, the heat, the fire of my life. That's interdimensional. We are mental, psychological, emotional, physical beings, and those of us who have practiced parapsychology for years, and it does take practice, folks.
Sure does.
I've had my near-death experiences, and they are dear because I came back, as well as remote viewing. And people say to me, we all have to face death. What can you do? I said, practice remote viewing, because in practicing the egress of remote viewing and returning, it is very much like dying. And I can tell you that because I've had two near-death experiences where I was ready to go, and I only came back because of people I love here that I didn't really want to.
Well, that makes it worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes it quite worthwhile. But it's very similar. And if you practice during life, lucid dreaming, and get comfortable with remote viewing, then the fear of death is not as great, you know, because you know that there's that other side and there's another existence that's quite independent.
All right, let's go to Fort Collins, Colorado. Darlene is with us, first-time caller. Hello there.
I am very nervous. I'm sorry.
Don't be nervous. It's easy.
Do you know anything about this, that they're calling bail in, like it was bail out in 2009 or 8, that the taxpayers paid for bailing out the banks?
Oh, we sure did. We know a lot about that.
Yeah, George Teller. The Greek people know a lot about bail-ins and bailouts.
I'll tell you what, in that situation in Greece has not been resolved, and I don't think it will be, but of course we're the ones who foot the bill, not government.
And the footing of the bill will be even greater under TPP. One of the problems with TPP is that foreign investors will be able to sue the United States government for perceived losses in the future that they would suffer from having to comply with our regulatory and environmental laws. And now here's another really really terrible thing. American businesses will still be subject to American regulations in all regards, whether they be environmental, labor, economic, etc. However, investors or corporations that come here to do business, if they see that complying with our regulations is going to cost them profit, they can sue the government for those losses in the future. Not real losses in the past that they've suffered, but prospective losses that they foresee. And this is one of those disputes, the investor-state disputes, that will be determined, adjudicated, and decided by panels of lawyers. So in fact, what the TPP is doing is conferring upon corporate entities the status of states and government.
Next up, let's go to Greg in New Jersey. Get your question in real fast before the break, Greg. Go ahead.
Okay, well, a comment to the question.
Sure.
It's my understanding that General von Brauchitsch, the chairman of the German General Staff, was told that the war was not going to start until 1946. Imagine a set of Messerschmitts, they would have jet aircraft. Anything about that, Robert?
Yes, they were forced to move up their war plan because of shortages in oil in particular. Their industry was burgeoning. Their manufacturing was just skyrocketing, and their logistics and their expertise, for example, Speer, they knew that there wasn't enough oil for that industrial process at that rate to continue. And in order to ensure the continuation of the Third Reich military-industrial complex, they foresaw having to get oil, and that's why they were going into Iraq. They wanted the Middle East. If they had listened to Rommel, they would have won the war. But
he was sharp.
He was a very sharp man, and he was a very noble. He was a very noble Junker, and he paid with his life. He was part of the plot to assassinate Hitler. But he was such a great icon and hero that they dressed up his murder as an accident. And
what about Patton? Was that an accident too? A real accident?
I don't know. Patton, that's a strange story. I think that he was knocked off too. You know, Patton and Lawrence of Arabia, they were both victims of, I think, assassinations, because Patton was really rocket rattling, you know?
Well, he really was. Hold on, Robert, the final segment when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're going to take your final calls with Robert Morningstar. Robert, what other projects are you working on?
Well, I'm working on a couple of videos, instructional videos, and I would like to congratulate Mr. Francis Richard Connolly and JFK to 9/11. It's a movie in which I appear. He's done on YouTube. It just broke a million hits.
That's fantastic.
It's revealing the real story behind the JFK assassination, and we are ready for another official investigation. It's going to come, and in our lifetimes. Also producing Discobolus, which is a movie based on disc sports. I've been inspired by this statue, and I invented some Tai Chi sports that I'm promoting and I'm teaching them.
Huh. You're really into this, aren't you?
I'm into it 100%, and that statue has been my icon since I first saw it at the age of 10. So I'm teaching this Tai Chi sports program in Central Park and in Riverside Park, and if people are interested, they can write to me for information.
Great.
And there's a film coming out about my teacher called The Professor, Tai Chi's Journey West, and it's by Barry Strugatz and a Tai Chi master named Ken Van Sickle. And I'd like to say shout-out to Greg in Florida and Jeff in California and Jerry in Louisiana. You're all wonderful friends, and I thank you for listening.
I think every time you're on, Robert, you have your 9 million friends listening, too, so our audience goes even up higher and higher.
Well, I'm happy to do that, George, because we're all helping each other. You know, in this speech that I've been reading segments from President Kennedy, he asked the news media, and that includes you, to work with him to arouse the American public, to educate, to enlighten, to arouse public participation in every aspect of life. Our lives together here as Americans, and I really believe that we are fighting for the Constitution. If this thing goes through, the Constitution is going to be on the second shelf to the TPP.
Well, between that and the Patriot Act, we're going to get squeezed.
Well, you know what TPP stands for, me? Toilet paper.
That's what I thought. Okay, let's go to the final calls. We'll go to Las Vegas. Thomas, welcome to the show, Tom. Go ahead,
Hello,
Thomas.
Hello, George and Robert.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking
Hi.
My call. It's a great show tonight. Real quick, a couple quick questions. On Kennedy, I personally believe that he fell in love with the American people and wanted to turn this country back to a constitutional republic, not a democracy, but a republic. And also, after his Daily Plaza, he was supposed to go to and give a speech about exposing the UFOs and disbanding the CIA. And George, you had several years ago somebody on there talking about that speech.
Yeah.
The second part of that would be, now an earlier caller kind of covered some of it, but back there was supposedly 37 or upwards 30 Wolf class type submarines that disappeared after World War II, mm-hmm. and they went down to South America. I guess that's called New Schwabenland.
Yes.
I guess there's three areas. There's one in Switzerland in the mountains. I guess those are the Nazis, the really bad ones. The ones in South America are the scientists. They don't care about anything else. They just want to do their thing. And then there's the ones in South America. And I understand that the ones in South America, or Antarctica, the ones in South America back in World War II or back in the 40s, they had the technology and they had contact with off-planet life forms that were doing exchanging, and human beings born on this planet went to their planet and had families, and then born on another planet, but they were human and came back here and are living. And appreciate your time, and I'll take my answers off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Well, yes, I've heard about the contact that they had with extraterrestrials. And you know, this thing with extraterrestrials, it's not recent. Extraterrestrials have been involving themselves in human affairs since time immemorial. The Japanese have an official record that goes back to the 1700s. And UFOs appeared in the Japanese skies always before major dynastic changes or great battles. The battle at the Million Bridge by of the Roman Emperor Constantine, the shield in the sky, you know, Excelsior, in this sign you will conquer. The battles, the sky battles over Nuremberg in the 1500s, it's not new. Read Passport to Magonia. They have been involved in human affairs, and several factions of extraterrestrials have been involved in mixing with humans. You know, that is where the Germans saw the stories of Zeus and Apollo and the offspring of these gods with humans as demigods, and they believed that they had that bloodline, that divinity within them, which led them to their, you know, concocting the theory of the Aryan race and the coming of the Superman.
And these submarines, all these submarines, where would they be now?
Bottom of the sea.
You think they tanked them all?
Actually, you know, let me tell you, they may be hidden in, you know, about 20 years ago, they were doing some work in Hamburg, and they actually found some submarine pens that had been sealed by the Germans.
Hmm.
And I think there were some subs in there.
There could have been.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kurt in Littleton, Colorado. Welcome, Kurt. You're on the air.
Hey, George and Robert, first-time caller and Coast Insider.
Thank you.
How you guys doing tonight?
Good, good.
All right, thank you.
Hey, the guys who are the corporations that control the government, do they try to incite racial and religious division to keep everybody from uprising against them? So, because otherwise everybody would realize that they're messing everything up and that it's not right. So that way they keep everybody against each other. That
right.
way there's no way they can go and get overthrown.
That's right. I agree with you. I'm glad you asked the question because this thought came to me. All of us know about MKUltra and mind control and something called trauma-based mind control. If you put the victim in a state of perpetual trauma or shock, anxiety, stress, distress, depression, you have control over them. And this is what I see happening in the way mass media is marketing bad news all the time to constantly keep the American public in a state of anxiety, a state of suspicion against each other, and dividing us. It's a very good question. And I say we have to break out of this trauma. We have.
And how do we break out? That's the question.
Stop
how do
listening.
We get it to break out?
you turn off those major mouthpieces. I like to joke that CNN and Fox is suffering terrible ratings losses in my house ever since I got my vivarium and I watch my lizards and crickets and all of that interacting. I stay there for hours and I realize, my God, I haven't been watching any of that blather. And then you turn it on, and in the background there is this noise. There is a way of using background noise to distress a person. The Russians did amazing work with that. They could turn a person, put a person in a room, turn on a sound that they couldn't hear, but they could feel, and either make them depressed, make them anxious, make them euphoric, or make them go bonkers. And I feel that in the background noises of many of these broadcast stations, there is this tone of anxiety that it just simply resonating in the background, it makes you tense. And the experiment that you can do is while you're listening to one of these, you know, horrible reports and really all getting stressed out, just simply hit the mute button suddenly and see what happens to your body and to your in your room. Then watch the images for a while and see how your feelings subside. Then turn on the sound again and you'll start to see and understand how even those commercials, the commercials are intended to induce stress and cognitive dissonance. They show you very pretty pictures of someone having a wonderful life. In the background, they're saying, you're going to have this wonderful life if you take this drug, but be careful because you might have a bleeding stomach, you know, you might have a stroke, kidney failure. So these two messages are happening simultaneously, and they don't make sense.
Do you think the German flying saucer program was taken by us and that we've got one going now?
I think we've got one going now, and I think the Russians got one going, too. You know, there's a very interesting Russian film from the 1970s. It's called Burnt by the Sun. It's about life in the Soviet Union in the Stalinist era. And it's a father and daughter story. It's a very beautiful story. And he's a government official. And you see the horror. It was actually an expose because by the late 1970s, you know, Khrushchev had come and gone. And it was really different than during Stalin, so they were doing Stalinist movie exposés. And in this film, out of the blue, this little UFO appears in the guy's room monitoring him, and the suggestion is that Stalin had UFOs, what we would call drones, and this little sphere is buzzing around, watching the guy, harassing the guy, and actually zapping him and electrocuting him at times. Burnt by the Sun. It's one of the best movies that I've ever seen, as particularly in the field of Russian filmmaking and Russian affairs.
Up next is Gary in Santa Maria, California. Welcome to Coast, Gary.
Oh, thanks, George. Uh-huh. Robert, there was one important thing about TPP that, among so many insidious things, but it's a living trust agreement, meaning the United States has one vote out of 12, equal to that same vote of Vietnam.
Right.
Any consensus of the other countries can change any part of that agreement at any time and rewrite it. And George, I think it's a 51% probability that TPP will pass. But this audience, we are connected through radio waves, through, you know, my hot button astrology. We are quantumly entangled. Every call to Congress is like 1,000 times the strength when it comes to intention on that office. I know we owe a great deal of debt to the World War II veterans at Battle of the Bulge.
Oh,
this is a modern day Battle of the Bulge. It's all on the line tomorrow. If this gets fast tracked, we're toast. If you think you owe something to the Vietnam veterans, the World War II veterans, Iraq, Afghanistan, rather than say thank you for your service, thank them for their service by doing something to stop this takeover of this country from the multinational corporations, for God's sakes.
Right. Amen, brother. Listen to this. You have brought an incredibly important point forward, but you have also reminded me of a nagging distrust and a nagging fear that I have about the secret protocols. I believe that this pact is not just a trade agreement, but it may be a military defense pact between and amongst these nations targeting China. When you look at the constituents of this pact, from Vietnam to Brunei to Australia to the Philippines and so on, it is surrounding China. And I'm afraid that they're dressing up a defense pact under the guise of a trade agreement. There are 20 hidden protocols yet to be revealed. They've revealed 6. And on my Facebook page, I've published articles by Paul McGuire, who's very conservative, and Ralph Nader, who's the opposite. And both of these people have written excellent essays and exposés of this treaty. Basically, Paul McGuire says that the TPP is an attempt to turn America into China, that the oligarchs that we have, the global banking elite, admires what Mao Zedong did with China. And by making it a completely restricted society, he was able to industrialize it and make it this economic superpower. But the fact is that the Clintons and we Americans foolishly made China that superpower by buying all those Chinese products and offshoring all of our offshoring our industrial base to China. Where are the cars being made today? China. They promised you that GM would not leave the United States, and within months of Obama's elections, they were already talking and setting up operations in China. This is betrayal. You cannot believe a single word that the Clinton administration or the Obama administration says about treaties.
And then we have Jade Helm right after that.
Now, Jade Helm, I believe, is a pre-positioning of our troops at the southern border, because we suspect that something is
happening, and they don't want to tell us.
But they'd rather have the American public in this traumatized state, in this induced paranoia, they'd rather have them believe that they're there to attack Texas and Texans. Tell them the truth. We're worried about something that's coming across the border from Mexico, and we're pre-positioning our troops as a contingency plan there.
Interesting.
That's what I believe is really happening.
Let's go to a Skype caller, and it's anonymous. Hello there. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, barely, but we'll see if we can boost you as much as we can. Go ahead.
All right. I'm kind of nervous about this coming out, but I'm a third-generation Third Reich descendant.
Third, okay.
And I have to disagree with your guest about the start of World War II. In what I've been taught about from my grandparents and great-grandparents.
And where's the disagreement?
I disagree with the start because of oil. What they taught me was that in the beginning, the reason why Germany invaded Poland particularly because of the massacre of the German population in Western Prussia, specifically Danzig, and because of that, and an agreement that Poland had with England before that, that they would have to fight. And I also have to...
Well, this is true. This is true. What you're saying is true. But if you've read Albert Speer's biography, autobiography, and Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William L. Shirer...
A minute to go, Robert.
Okay. They had to have a casus belli. They had to have a cause for war, but they were worried about oil, and that was in the background, a major part of the background of having to hurry up when they saw Russia also moving. So they put Russia at ease and then got their forces together and made the attack. But the plan was to take the Middle East. They took Egypt, again, because there was oil flowing through Egypt. But that was a major concern. But you're not, I'm not disputing what you say. Yes, the reason given by Hitler was the killing of Germans in Poland. And that was the reason he was giving for every country that he was taking over, the abuse of Germans by, you know, local citizens. But it was a very different time, and the people were barbaric on both sides. I'm sorry.
Robert, give out your website, if you would, in the waning moments here. Please.
Yes, well, please go to UFODigest.com. I have two articles there that I put up yesterday. One is about Travis Walton and his Starfire conference. He's going to repeat it. It's the 40th anniversary coming up this year, and Travis is going to have a seminar there.
All right, I love Travis. One of the good guys, for sure. Robert, thanks. You be in touch with us. We'll be back with Dr. Rita Louise as we talk about E.T. Chronicles.